Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
That's right. That's
nailed
right.
Nailed it.
I feel like I'm gonna start doing. the ID as like a almost like a
dramatic
poet,
reading,
like a beat poet,
dramatic
slam
reading.
Poetry. K I L T A M. Yeah, you're right.
In for loop. All you ladies out there.
Oh wow, we're going Quiet Storm.
This is K I L T A M.
Yeah,
Houston.
Yeah,
and Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, let's get going on a Thursday in the loop here. On Sports Radio 610, the man Sean's always right. It is John Lopez, Reginald Datatula, and Figgy Fig hanging out with you. Let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I was about to ask question of the day. It's not question of the day, Tommy. And I'm jumping forward.
It's gonna be a good one though.
Is it? You're willing to? I always feel weird about like promising that.
Oh, it's gonna be great.
Like we're gonna
do a little vertical tease, man.
Yeah. All right, a little vertical tease. We will get to the question today.
The old saying: over promise and under deliver.
That's right. Yes, that's right. That's the way
I live
my
life.
That's right. I will promise that we'll talk to our guy ND Kalu at 11:20. So getting ready for the wild card matchup between the Texans and the Chargers on Saturday. But let's begin. I guess going backwards in a way.
Mm-hmm.
The coordinators. Talk on the Thursdays on a normal week, but on a short week, the slid week, I guess, as I've been calling it. That was yesterday where the coordinators talked. And there was one thing that definitely got the people going.
Man.
Is the one way you can say it. If you know what I'm talking about, or if you just want to talk back, let us know. Hit us up on the text line, 713-572-4610. And then also we're up on the YouTube. We're up on the Twitch. Those are also available to you. But Bobby Slowick ends up being a topic of conversation anytime he talks, just because offense is where we are, right? Like that is where a lot of people's focus goes, just generally in the sport of football. But then also with the very particular situation that he exists in with this Texas team and the way that this offense has been sporadic, to say the least. And it did not feel like necessary. Well, that's not fair. He did allude to that. Mm-hmm. But there was a level of confidence in there.
Was it?
It felt from him, from his side.
Yeah.
That felt a little, I don't know, a little surprising for me.
It felt a lot of surprising for me. Now, let's be very, very clear and fair.
Okay.
He's not, you know, you're talking about this offense going into the postseason and what it is, what you expect, how you get it going again, et cetera. I mean, he's not going to say up there like, and say,
boy, we stink.
I got no idea.
Yeah, that's not a way to go about this.
So he's not going to do that. Boy, we suck, don't we? He's not going to do that.
Nor should he.
Nor should he. But it got a little wild, man. Just like almost, who are you trying to convince here is how I felt. And we're going to hear from him here in just a second. But are you trying to convince us? Because we know better, and you know that. Are you trying to convince yourself?
The royal we?
Yes. Are you trying to convince your team? Or are you just saying what needs to be said? And I think it probably falls in the last category and trying to convince his team. Because he wants us to think, like he kept going back to a theme. And we'll hear it, let's hear it.
Yeah, let's go to the tape. So Bobby Slowick, to begin off his availability, he was asked specifically why now it feels like the Texans can flip a switch heading into the AFC playoffs.
I don't necessarily think for us the way we approach it is you're really flipping a switch. Like naturally you get to the playoffs and everyone's season's on the line. I'm sure everyone's talked about it. There's just a different speed to the game. There's a different physicality to the game. There's a different intensity to the game. Like you can't avoid that. And you know, we know we've had some ups and some downs on offense this year, and there's been a lot of really evolving as an entire group. And I would say like the last 3 weeks in particular, we've really honed in on what we think we need to do in both areas, the run and the pass game, really all the way across the board that we think fits us as a group and who we have out there, and our identity as a team that we can really press forward with. But then that takes time to even grow into that. you know. And as we work through some things, even the last 3 weeks, our emphasis beyond that was we got to do everything we can to start to get hot. And that's really all it takes is if you get hot as an offense, especially around this time of year, that's a really good thing for your team and your organization. And I would say probably this year, generally, like I think last year we probably had a few hot streaks in there. I feel like this year we didn't have as many hot streaks and strides that we hit for multiple games as an offense this year. And that's really been our intent. Like, how on the details can we be as we go through every single one of these practices and weeks so that we can kind of start a spark.
All right. So he had a couple of talking points there that you are going to hear again. And so it's clear that they are talking points. The last 3 weeks, we're honing in. We've honed in.
We have honed in on. Over the last 3 weeks.
On what we want to be, how we're going to play, et cetera. So the last 3 weeks and honed in. Really? Let's look at the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
All right. Chiefs, 311 yards. All right. You know, whatever. That's decent. Two turnovers, six penalties, 57 yards rushing. Ravens. Well, we don't even really need to see the numbers there. We know what happened there, right? Titans, one series. So it's kind of hard to establish that is when they've honed in, so to speak, on things, because those performances are not showing me, hey, the last 3 weeks they're kind of getting it. Hey, the last 3 weeks they're honing in. Figgy knows this. I a lot of times, and I may have, you know, used this with you, Reggie. A lot of times when I'm being sarcastic about a player or a team that is really not doing well, I always say the same thing. I say, oh man, they're just ramping up. You know, they're just ramping up. He did everything but say that, but we're just ramping up. Because they're not playing well offensively, but he's saying that.
And I mean, there has to be a certain acknowledgement of that in there. But I think the thing that was a little perplexing within this, if I can use that word, was the idea that I guess, again, it comes back to you have to try and project some level of confidence. But the idea that, hey, we've figured it out. We've honed in on what it is that we want to be doing. And maybe that's, again, pointing to the idea that, hey, we just need to go out and do it. I guess what would be the implication beyond that. But, yeah, man, if you've honed in on what it is, I haven't seen it.
Exactly.
Right? I'm trying to parse, you know, the better instances and like saying, hey, have they figured out what the game plan is, what the path is to offensive success? And I can't say that they have over the last few. And maybe, again, you're in a place where the question then comes up, what is he supposed to say?
Right.
And I don't know that I have a great answer for that, but it feels like the response of, well, no, we have a good idea of what it's supposed to be. We've heard that refrain a few times and not seen the results. And it does make me a little skeptical as to what we will ultimately see. You were talking about the idea of wrinkles or whatever.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem like it trends towards, hey, there are some wrinkles, there are some curveballs that we'll be able to throw out there that'll give us some level of advantage on Saturday. This feels like it's trending towards, yeah, within what we have done, we know the things that work the best, and we're going to just try and hit those, which doesn't give me personally a whole bunch of confidence.
Well, thank you for saying that, because that's exactly what I was saying. Like, if his, and let's listen to cut two here, but if his idea of we've honed in, we're honing in, is we think we know what we want to do and how we can get there, but they haven't shown that, you know, on the field. But Figgy, like, listen to this, and it's just another variation of that theme.
Yeah, I think the identity is what you show on tape. You know what I mean? And as I said, that's been a moving target often this year. And I think we've honed in on what that is, and we're going to go, and we're gonna put that out there. We're going to execute that to the best of our ability. And hopefully by the end of every game you guys watch, you guys could tell me.
So he thinks they know what they need to do. That's how I would interpret it, giving him the benefit of the doubt. But to say it's on tape, to say the last 3 weeks, that's where I'm like, man, they just haven't. They just haven't shown it on the field. But if he's saying, okay, finally figured it out, you know, I think we know what we're going to do. Well, then, okay, give him the benefit of the doubt there.
Yeah, and I do want to get to this one, because I believe this is where he ultimately got to it. And it's not something that he hasn't said before, but it feels like this is a full clarification of the idea that maybe we're grasping at straws, which was he said that, you know, we've shown it on tape. So then the follow up was, what has this Texans team shown on tape?
Yeah, what people say outside of this building, really, like, that's not really something we hone in on, focus on. We're very much a self-reflection type unit and really self-inspired, and that's how we go. That's how we go about everything, you know. So we know what this week means to us. We know the challenge we have in front of us is one heck of a defense. I mean, they're number one in points. They're top five in, like, every good situational statistic that there is. You know, we got a challenge. But, you know, through the course of the year, we've had many challenges that we've arisen to. We're extremely explosive. Like, I've said that, really, if there's one thing we hang our hat on without a doubt, like, we got playmakers out there that can take a ball and go 20 yards any given play. And, you know, we got to clean up the in-betweens. Been that way really all season. We know that. And, you know, we'll keep pressing forward in that regard.
That feels like the game plan.
They're just ramping up.
That, like, it feels like the thing that he identifies. And, again, I'm saying all this with the caveat, understanding that he's not going to be like, hey, this is exactly what we're going to try and do this week. But he has said it before, like, the thing that they're good at is explosives. Yeah. And even going through that, like, how many explosives are you actually seeing from this team? And then he talks about you need to clean up the stuff in between. Yeah, that's the football, man. And, yes, I appreciate from the 832 on the text line, pulling in on a situation or honing in on a situation is identifying what you need to do. It doesn't mean that you've implemented the changes to make that happen. It simply means that you've identified those issues. All right, cool, right? Like, if that's the way we want to put it, that's fine. But translating that, right, like taking, I guess in a car metaphor, I don't know why my brain went here, right? Having the power in the engine is cool. If you can't transfer that to the ground, your car's still not going to go as fast as you want it to, right? And even then, like, explosives, it feels like the explosives that this team has been able to generate have been a lot of individual brilliance.
No, it does feel that way. They're going to try to hang their hat on that. It's Nico and however other ways that
Nico and Joe Mixon
that they get it. Yeah, they get the big plays.
The explosive tandem, the explosion twins.
It is very interesting, though, because, you know, if you listen to all three of those cuts that we just played, you know, it kind of sounds like a guy that is also sort of politicking for, I got this figured out. I can get this figured out. You know, like he's sort of saying, oh, now we're honing in. How many times did he say that? And we've honed in and all this other stuff. It sounds like a guy that is like, okay, this is our last hurrah, and I think we know how to get there. He's talking to coaches, like his head coach, and maybe above that even, for his own sake, you know?
Yeah, and I think all of this, I appreciate the 832 texted him. I think all of this also continues in with the framework, and I'm not going to play the full cut, but he was asked what the biggest challenge for him in season two was, and he basically got to a place where he was talking about this team is, and this, you know, the people on this offense, the staff and such, have gotten to a place where they feel really good about where they're going. And that's the part, like, that's the general kind of foundation, or like context is the word I'm looking for, the framework that makes all the other stuff feel a little disconcerting. And I don't know, I don't know what I expected from him, right? I think that's something that people will say, like, well, what did you expect?
No, and we said that at the start,
but coming into it, it does make me that's been the concern in this game, is like, can you put up the points against a team, that a defense that has been pretty solid, at least scoring wise. I think technically, if you want to take away defensive scores, they'd be second. But that's nothing to scoff at, right? A team that has really upped their defense and the actual, like, schematics of their defense. It feels like you're not getting a schematic advantage in this game. It's going to depend on how well is CJ playing as an individual.
Well,
is Nico playing? Is Joe Mixon able to kind of bounce and create things? Because, again, it just hasn't felt like the actual offense in and of itself has created a lot for
this
team.
And I say this a lot, too, when people talk about, like, the last three games, or in this case, based on what? You know, based on what is this confidence level and that you've honed in? What is that based on? Look, everybody here hopes that boy, it does happen. You know, they have finally figured out, you know, whether it was through mistakes, bad performances like against Baltimore or a very short series against Tennessee Titans, that they have honed in. Everybody here would love to see this team just keep playing. All I'm saying is that was a weird way to approach it, and I don't know what it's based on.
I think that's where the confusion comes from. Now, I will say, benefit of the doubt, right? This Chargers team has been somewhat susceptible to explosives, right? So if you are hanging your hat on the idea that, hey, we do explosives, there is some level of, you know, overlap there with a porthole in what this Chargers defense coming in can do if you can block it up. And they usually get pressure, but they get pressure. It takes a little while for that pressure to get there. Now, technically, for the Texans over the course of the season, they allow that pressure to happen quickly. So we'll see which one of those, kind of statistical histories wins out on the day on Saturday. But yeah, maybe those are the places where you have an opportunity to be successful. But it feels like you can't make the entire ship out of explosives. Like he said, you got to clean up the things in the middle, and we haven't seen that really, in it for a long span of time. You haven't seen it for the entirety of a game, and if they could find a way to put it all together, that's awesome. It just feels like, I guess, the level of confidence there that I guess you have to have going into the game doesn't match with what we've seen from this team on tape.
No, it does not. It is just very fascinating to hear him because he was the golden child. I mean, the absolute golden child of play calling. He and Ben Johnson were mentioned in the same thing. And we would have bought this because they had, a pretty good sample size of, they've done some really good things over the course of the season. And C.J. Stroud is playing at a very high level. And that's why when I hear it this year, I'm like, based on what exactly? But it does come back down to, the explosives or whatever it may be. C.J. Stroud. I mean, it comes down to C.J. Stroud being the guy that we saw in Tennessee more often than not.
I wonder how aggressive, if that is indeed, and again, I might just be off on a different tangent here, but like, if that is indeed, we're trying to make sure we get explosives and those types of things. I wonder how aggressive this team is going to be about that, right? Like, is it going to be a similar Bobby Slowick that, seems to light some first downs on fire? Are they just kind of going to get out here and he also talked about the idea of running the football well, which that has not been something that they've done well. But are you going to kind of shift the way that you do that? Or is it going to look largely the same and you're just going to hope that you finally nail it and you get it right this time?
I do expect them to take their shots. I think that's the one thing we can all expect. He's said it multiple times. He said it there. And it's really the path, to being able to break this game open, especially early.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Just getting going on a Thursday. Like I said earlier, we will talk to Andy Kalu at 11:20, as we often do on Thursdays. But coming up next, I truly believe that I watched the best basketball game that I've seen in a very long time yesterday. Why I believe that and what that might mean for the Rockets, we'll do it next.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Adetula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
I'm working on myself because eventually I won't be salty about that. Hasn't happened yet.
You still mad about that?
Not mad. Man. I wouldn't say I'm mad. Like, I get it. But also, I like internally shake my head at myself. Like, how did you end up in that place? 713-572.
We all do it, man. Don't feel bad, man.
Is the
we
number to text. Get involved with the program. Appreciate you doing that, including Ocho, who did that and said, if you're not talking about Kentucky versus Florida from Saturday being the best basketball game in a long time, you haven't really watched the best basketball game.
Look at Ocho in the sticks,
dude. 108-100, I think it was. It was a hell of a game.
That's you was on that.
I was on it after the fact, as it was happening, and people were like, "This is insane."
Oh, you got the alert. You were on Twitter or what have you, or X.
I was actually watching A&M in Texas. It was going on the same time or right before
college basketball.
Look at you,
Hey man, I watched the A&M Oklahoma last night.
A&M basketball game.
That's right.
Yeah, you guys know that.
I mean, it's basketball season now.
Since some college hoops
after college football. Didn't go the way you wanted. All right. I think that it, no, Ocho, just to answer your question, I'm not talking about Kentucky versus Florida from Saturday. I missed that one, unfortunately. I was out and about doing things. However, I was seated on my couch in the living room watching Cavs Thunder last night. NBA basketball in January. Yay, hooray. But I know that sounds wild, but this is a pair of teams that had lost a total of 9 games thus far in the season. Like, this was a huge matchup coming in, and neither of them had lost to the opposing conference to that point. Both of them came in with huge winning streaks. The Thunder came in with a 15-game winning streak. The Cavs came in with an 11 or 10-game winning streak, and this game was incredible. incredible.
High-level basketball, especially in the second half, especially the third quarter, back and forth, terrific. And I say that, you know, this had the feel of something like postseason-ish. Because generally speaking, are you going to check into how many games that don't involve your team? But you had to because you saw...
Yeah, I'm not the person to ask because I...
Well, you check in on everything.
That's right.
You know, figure you were talking about this, like, oh, I got to see that. What, Cavaliers in Oklahoma City? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no, two of the best teams in the league, man.
Quite literally. And they gave that. Like, these are two incredible defenses as well. And you know what the final score was? 129-122. And I know there's people that'll be like, oh, they're not playing defense. No, this spoke to just how good these teams were offensively. I know someone texted in and said, oh, basketball sucks and blah, blah, blah. All these skinny little bleeps with their mouthpiece hanging out and stuff. You need to play bully ball. There was a good amount of that, too. There was dudes getting big. Evan Mobley was getting into the paint. Isaiah Hartenstein had a lot of floaters in the paint.
It was a good game for the big men.
Yes.
Like the big centers, the old school centers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was a good game for them, man.
Yeah, man. Like, you saw teams breaking down zone defense. If you are a, like, basketball nerd, you got so much out of this one. If you just like basketball in general, I thought this was a really good game. The shot making was really good. The decision making, the passing, the moving. And one of the things that was also really cool about this game is, again, like, this was not a game built off of the marquees of market. Because we're talking about Oklahoma City and we're talking about Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And Cleveland. Goodness. But it also wasn't necessarily built off of, like, superstars.
Yeah.
Which I think is where the NBA has kind of been. Like, the biggest player in this is Shea, who, I mean, he's probably in the lead for MVP, but like, he also does not smack of that same
thing. He's not that superstar. Mm-hmm. He's not like that box office superstar. He's really good. MVP like, but not 100%. That box office.
But then, like, these are two teams that also, the way that they were built, right? Speaking of superstars, like, these weren't teams that were cobbled together with trading a whole bunch of, like, assets to put stars together. These were teams that were built organically. And I, in thinking about that, we were prepping earlier, and I saw First Take ask the question, well, what does it mean if the Cavaliers win a championship without LeBron? I rolled my eyes, but I thought about it for a second. I was like, well, if these Cavaliers win the championship, I do think that helps people contextualize the NBA a little differently right now, and probably points to something that I think that Rafael Stone and the Rockets have kind of settled in on, which is, This is the way that you build these teams, man. This is the way that you find your way to the championship, is getting good, young, talented teams, players, and letting them kind of build and develop together, even through some times where it feels like you might be hitting a wall.
Yeah, that's why we're here, you know, because, again, it's one thing to mention, oh, what a great game in passing. But I think it's relevant for Houston, and it's relevant for the NBA. Like, this was on stage... center stage, how you do it now in the NBA. This is how you become a contending team now. Like the era of the super teams, there's still going to be some people trying to, you know, go here or there.
What up, Suns?
Exactly. That's a great example.
Lakers.
That's another great example. Like, this is how you do it. This is how you build a team, and the Rockets are, in fact, doing that themselves, and that's why I think it's relevant for our list.
Yeah, and the Oklahoma City Thunder are the team that has been really recently, or really easy recently, to kind of compare the Rockets' current path to. Like, hey, that's a team that's a few years ahead on a similar development path, right? The Thunder accumulating a whole bunch of assets, drafting, development.
And they've been doing it for years.
They have been. They have
since the beginning.
I think the Cavs are another different kind
they've
look
done
at
it
this as well.
Since LeBron left?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially the comparison that came to mind for me was just, there was a point in time, just last year, right, when they're in the playoffs, they look like a good team, but you're like, I don't think they're a great team. And there's a lot of conversations with pundits and stuff where it's like, hey, you're going to have to split up who you have there. You don't have enough offense, right? You've got a great defense, but you don't have enough offense. It can't necessarily work with Evan Mobley and Jared Allen as your two bigs, who also, like, don't score. And they looked at each other and they were like, no, what we have here is a lot of young, talented dudes that can still develop their ways into this working together. And you've seen Evan Mobley raise his game, where it felt like last year you thought, hey, man, this represents a wall that they have hit that they're not going to be able to traverse.
Yeah.
Evan Mobley's game is raised. Darius Garland has become even better and raised his game. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I think that could be an interesting counterpart to where the Rockets are, where I know that even I've been pretty antsy, like, hey, maybe there's moves to be made around the perimeters to make this better. seeing that game gave me a little bit more a solace and a little bit more conviction in what the Rockets are doing in that, hey, stick with your guns and ride what you're doing out. You have a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. Trust your team to be to develop into that place where then they can step into that realm and, you know, maybe take their knocks in the playoffs or whatever, but develop their way up there as opposed to like going and just siphoning talent elsewhere.
And I think it's good for the league. I think the bigger picture, it's good for the league because fans and everybody talking about NBA ratings, this and that. I get it. You know, they're, it's going to be take a lot to bring back the NBA to the highest levels again from a macro perspective. But nowadays, you can identify with players that are going to be there next year. And the year after that. And the year after that.
And these players on both of these teams been there for like three or four years.
Like the NBA was very
not
much,
new.
Right. It was very much, it lost ground because players were all over the place and super teams and players were chasing money, which obviously, you know, who doesn't want to do that? But now you can develop guys and you can identify with your team and you always know that you're going to have your guys for, you know, 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
that's
so.
That's good for the league.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, like I said, I'm interested in like the larger, as you mentioned, macro perspective of what this game, and it's one game, right? How much can it actually mean? But like what the upward trajectory of these two teams can kind of mean for the league generally. I think you can get back to some of that feel as we're losing in various different sports, that year-to-year continuity. Yeah. But also, yeah, man, I'm interested in what this says for, hey, continue to see where Jalen Green continues to develop to. I mean, hell, since over the last, month or so, consistency is still always a question, but you've seen some high highs recently. I mean, hell, we just came off a game a couple of days ago where it seemed like he was dealing with an injury, started slow, and just came on when you needed him, right? That's one of the things about Jalen Green. Said, hey, when you need him, will he show up? You add one more into the bucket there. Consistency, again, continues to be the issue, but can you find something there? We're talking about various other players and their development. We see Amen stepping into the starting role and being incredible. There's still apparently more development there and more to bring out of that. Like it gave me so much confidence in this Rockets team, who is, again, kind of contending ahead of schedule here.
Well, doesn't that sound familiar?
Yeah.
You know, compared to these teams, that we saw last night. And then that's not to preclude, you know, going out and getting that one piece that can maybe, you know, put you over the top, you know, Donovan Mitchell. Something like that,
100%.
Where you can still develop, you can have that identity, and then you bring in that one guy. And that's what we've been talking about with the Rockets.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I enjoyed that game first and foremost, but secondly, it got me thinking, it got me, you know, back to the place where I'm renewing my confidence in the Rockets game plan or development plan here. Even as we're looking at, you know, Cam Whitmore maybe having a little bit of like a little bit of friction at times, and even as you're looking at, hey, maybe Tari Eason dealing with some, I don't know, injuries.
What is he dealing
injuries
with?
But then I also like apparently an illness that's kind of kept him out and will keep him out again tonight as they face off against the Grizzlies in Memphis. But man, I love where this Rockets team is.
Do you feel like they need to make a big trade now, like get that big superstar now?
I think they
do have all these picks.
Not right in this moment, but I think that it gives them more leeway to wait for the right one, right? This ain't Daryl Morey's team where the first star that pops up, you're going to get them.
Yes.
I think that this is fully Rafael Stone's team where now you can wait for the right dude who fits and really elevates, especially with this new.
And it may not be this year.
That is absolutely the case.
You know, I mean, again, look at the Cavs.
In fact,
look at Oklahoma City.
It's probably likely not this year unless you have a very particular thing, which I'm believing to be the Suns falling apart. And if you could pick that, whether it's probably Devin Booker is the one that I feel most comfortable. There's kind of been talk about Kevin Durant. That would be a really shorter, that was going to be a much shorter kind of like, hey, we're contending right this moment for the next like couple of years. But yeah, it would have to be the perfect situation as opposed to just, hey, we need to get somebody in here.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we're at the time where let's get to our question of the day. We started talking a little bit about like those office phrases, but just open this up. What cliche or phrase just drives you up a wall? 713-572-4610. We'll execute that next.
Fun event, man, coming up right here in Houston at NRG. It's the Houston Auto Show, Houston Automotive Show, as they talk about, and it's going to be big time for you, because you're going to be able to see all the greatest, the latest deals and vehicles that are out there. And it's January 29th to February 2nd, so you're going to be able to pick your day to get out there, and all you have to do is go to HoustonAutoShow.com. There's going to be boats there as well. It's just a cool event, events for kids, vehicles on display, all kinds of attractions as well. And you're going to be able to maybe even ride that Jeep. They have that big hill that they built in there. That's going to be a lot of fun. Just go to HoustonAutoShow.com. They're going to have appearances, celebrities, and maybe your next ride, whether it's on the water or on the pavement. HoustonAutoShow.com.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Attitullo.
All right, it's complaining time, ladies and gentlemen. Question of the day. On this Thursday in the loop, let us know how you feel. 713-572-4610 or the YouTube, Sports Radio 610 or the Twitch, 610 Houston. What cliche or phrase just drives you up a wall? Bonus points if it's a sports one. Mm-hmm. Don't have to go there, because it actually came out of like the workplace cliches, yeah, and phrases that you frequently hear.
I guess Sean came in and we were talking about some of that, and I just mentioned like some of these work cop-outs, basically. Or I don't know if they're cop-outs.
Not necessarily.
That might not be the right word, but little catchphrases that make... Every time I hear something like these, I always think, well, that person's trying to look smarter than they really are, you know, or more, polished or whatever, like thinking outside the box, you know, or and I mentioned this to you guys. For the life of me, I don't know what this blue sky thinking means.
I don't even think I've heard that before.
I've heard it multiple times. Well, we have to, you know, really approach it with blue sky thinking.
I don't know what that means.
I actually looked it up.
What the blue sky about mean, the app. Kobe Bryant?
In other words, like in a perfect world, which is in itself kind of like one of those, but like in a perfect world, what do we want to accomplish in this project? You know, blue sky thinking. Dude, don't try so hard, man. Why are you trying so hard?
Trying to add a little pizzazz to it, man.
Why are you trying so hard?
One of the ones that you mentioned was like circle back, which I think for me, especially when it comes to like the office realm type things, those ones don't upset me so much, because like, hey man, communication is making sure that we get the message, mm-hmm, if I understand it.
Yeah.
And that's why I hate the other ones where it's just like, you have actually obscured what we're supposed to be talking about. I have no idea what you mean. I have no idea what you're talking about in some of these instances. And, to that end, on the text line, we got people texting in from the 832. I hate bandwidth. Do you have the bandwidth to take on this task?
Yes.
And that falls in the category for me of like answers that you already know the answer to, or questions rather, right? Do you have the bandwidth? If you're asking me, you probably know that I don't.
I mean, but why don't you, why are you saying that? Again, you're kind of trying too hard, is basically what you're saying.
This one I hate, and we use this pretty often, but boots on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yep. Boots on the ground, guys.
I've used that. I'm guilty of that.
We do that, especially around training camp or, mm-hmm, something like that, where if we have somebody out there, we boots on the ground.
Which actually reminds me, and I hope not to offend folks, but if I do, mea culpa. All of the sports metaphors that make it, that liken it to war, because we're not doing war.
It ain't war.
We're not doing war, man. Like this, mm-hmm, you know? I fall victim to some of these things, mm-hmm, like in the trenches. It's not trenches. That's not what we're doing here. Those ones getting under my skin personally.
I had one really just the other day. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, where I was talking with a group of people, and one of them, it was about, I don't even know what it was about, but they said, "I'll ping you." I'll ping you. In other words, they were gonna send me an email about,
right,
it.
Right. Yeah.
Why can't you just say, "I'll send you an email"? Yeah. I'll ping you.
No, what about the person that's like, "Hey, let's set up a Zoom meeting," mm-hmm, and then the Zoom meeting is just like an audio bit. Or it's just you and the other person. I'm like, you could have called me, man.
That's right.
Like, now I'm sitting at a computer thinking we about to be face to face or some type of presentation, yeah, and we just audio on the computer.
Yeah, what was the one you were just talking about during the break?
I hate when people do this whenever you're having a discussion and they say, "You're on the right track." Like, I hate.
In other words, you're wrong.
I'm wrong. If I'm on the right track, then I'm right.
That's right.
You're on the right track, yes. But.
Or, "I see what you're doing there, but
I totally understand where you're coming from.
However, hey man, we gotta soften the blow. Like we gotta make this turn, but we gotta you don't want it to be too sharp.
You're not wrong.
However, from the 281, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Lame.
Yeah.
Nah, hey man, sometimes that's a motivational factor. Yeah. Like, hey, you gotta take these shots.
Or about this. Let's table this.
Yeah, let's table this. We'll circle back.
Like, what did this mean?
Yeah.
Somebody said it's not a phrase, but it really drives me nuts. How much Ron says potentially. See, now we're going to a whole different place in that instance. Mm-hmm. Let's see. At the end of the day.
Oh God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
And there are, who was it that said it all the time? A recent, was it Daryl Morey that said it at the end of the, no, it was Tad Brown.
Oh, really?
Rockets, okay. President. I mean,
at the end of the day.
I actually told him one because I knew Tad pretty well.
When you get to brass tacks.
I was like, Tad.
Yeah. Now, Glorilla made me like at the end of the day because she said, at the end of the day got to end.
That's right. That's right.
That wrap up everything you got to say.
Some other cliches and phrases that you do not like from the 281, calling a football the Rock.
Shout out to Mark Vandermeer.
Toting the Rock.
Well, what about the pigskin?
I think that's
what Clint liked to say.
Yeah, I don't mind pigskin.
Pigskin, like, which one reeks of trying too hard more, pigskin or Rock? If you had to rank them, which one is like, oh, you trying too hard more
than
the other? The Rock.
Yeah, the Rock.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Toting the Rock.
Four panels and eight laces. Or what is it? 5-6 panel, whatever it is. Clint says that. I like that one, actually.
Oh, that's real quaint and
folksy.
Yeah,
I like that one.
Somebody said, when you guys use 30,000 foot view. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's fair. Mm-hmm. I think I've done that. I think I'm the one that Horatio's talked about in that instance.
I say macro. In fact, I did at the start of the show today.
Moments ago. Macro, yeah. Micro. Mm-hmm. Yep. 30,000, but I feel like everybody understands what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it has become cliche, and it's I got you. Mm-hmm. I got you. Somebody said, okay, we've reached the portion where we are now annoyed by the younger folks, which I will take personally, but I'm also not mad at. Somebody said, my bad. They don't like my bad. They feel like it's stupid.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I personally believe it to be benign, but I can understand how other people, especially if maybe you're older, looking at it like,
yeah,
what's happening?
I mean, I'll say my bad occasionally. A lot of times I'll say that's on me.
Yeah.
You know?
I think at one point a lot of kids was overusing it. Mm-hmm. Like that came out their mouth all the time. Yeah. Where,
oh, my bad, my bad.
Yeah, my bad, my bad, my bad.
Yeah.
You can't have your cake and eat it too.
Oh, that's WTF,
then what's the point?
What do that mean?
Yeah,
man?
It is a little unclear because I think the idea is like have your cake as in continue to have your cake.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, if I have it, then I'm going to eat it. Right? Like this is right. Your point is lost here as you're trying to make it clear. If you ain't first, you're last. Shout out to Ricky Bobby there. Somebody said it was Nick Casario that you say at the end of the day. It is what it is. Continues. to show up.
That's
in here.
I'm never giving that one up, man.
It's so funny.
Let's take this offline.
Oh yeah.
What about?
Let's talk about this offline.
What about put your ducks in a row?
Let's see. There was one that I had just seen that I can't. Someone said low hanging fruit.
That's one. That's on the board.
Oh yeah, standing on business.
Mm-hmm.
I don't is dislike that, that one.
Nah, man.
But what that
shout
does
to Drewski.
That does remind me is. If especially for those of us that got a little contrarian in our bones, mm-hmm. right? When something becomes like latches on quickly and it becomes like ever present and everybody's trying to use it all the time.
Then you get out.
Akin to tweakers.
Yeah.
And you're just like, guys,
I'm out.
I would enjoy this if everybody wasn't doing this in the same moment.
Yeah.
Right now. How about moving forward?
Moving forward, mm-hmm. yeah.
Somebody said they say macro all the time. And then when somebody says living the dream. How are you doing? Yeah. Just living the dream.
Living the dream, man.
I'm trying to live like you. I'm just trying to. It's your world.
Just trying to get
we
like
living
you.
In it.
Yeah.
Let's see. How about
action plan?
Action plan. Okay.
Why don't you say, hey, let's do this? You know, let's go ahead and do this, or you know, let's figure it out. Yeah.
I mean, in the sports world, I think it's abundantly clear that when momentum comes up, that drives me up a wall.
Yeah. This one,
they've got the momentum now.
That's surprising.
Yeah,
to me. That bothers you so
it
much.
It doesn't make the momentum has shifted. What do you mean?
It can be momentum can be a thing. I'm not saying it's always a thing, but it can be a thing.
What are you talking about?
It can.
It
shifted, but then
confidence that you've built.
Hey, say confidence.
We saw that momentum shift in that Kansas City game, 24-0.
Yes, we did.
Nah, that boys just started playing better. Which means, from the another one, gave it 110%.
Mm-hmm.
A win is a win.
Oh gosh. 110% drives me a little crazy.
This one Lopez say a lot too. Put a pin in it.
Put a pin in that.
Let's put a pin in that.
Let's put a pin in that. Yeah, I do say that a lot. It's all right. I'm still going to say it.
And then this one I know that Noah Lyles hates. The world champions.
Mm-hmm.
When you start talking about, hey, these are the world champs.
World champions of what? The United States?
Synergy, just hate that word. Thoughts and prayers.
Mm-hmm. Or what about...
Good answer.
Let me run it up the flagpole.
Run it up the flagpole.
Why have we not said that one?
That's a winner.
Why have we not thought of that one?
That's a winner right there. Yeah, just keep the complaints coming in. Your cliches and the phrases that you dislike the most. The most important thing about football is the football.
David Cutley.
Woo, that is a great annoying cliche slash phrase. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next.
The most important thing about football is the football. Mm.
Never gets old.
I can't believe he said that,
just
man.
A waste of life, 4 seconds there. But yes, coming up next, let's go around the NFL, including why Bill Belichick is, again, a hot name for coaching jobs, even though he already has one. We'll do it next.